From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day to maybe, just maybe, escape the impeachment trap before it springs shut and damages not Donald Trump, because I think that if they actually do pursue and vote impeachment in the House of Representatives, Trump will almost surely be reelected and reelected comfortably. The trap is for the country. And really, can we afford psychologically, economically, in terms of foreign policy, national security, can we afford going forward into this particular edition of worldwide wrestling entertainment that is going to last for, well, presumably before they actually get around to voting on impeachment, another 6 months? Impeachment or removal of the president from office. Mark Thiessen has been in the White House. He was a chief speechwriter for President George W. Bush. He is one of my favorite national columnists. He does a column twice a week, syndicated across the country through the Washington Post. And he's also a Fox News contributor. Mark, you brought up one of the many reasons that the Democrats firing all their cannonades and mortars and howitzers in President Trump's direction are in the process of damaging themselves. You described something that I didn't know about before, and good for you for bringing it public. The Robert Menendez, the Democrat from New Jersey, who barely escaped conviction on corruption charges of his own, Dick Durbin, the Democratic whip, the senator from Illinois, and Patrick Leahy, the veteran Democrat who has been there since the 19th century from Vermont, they all did something that is highly, highly relevant to the charges against President Trump. What'd they do?
Well, so they wrote a letter in May of 2018 to the chief prosecutor in Ukraine, expressing deep concern that he had shut down four investigations related to the Mueller probe. And they described themselves as strong supporters of Ukraine who have supported foreign aid for Ukraine, what they call capacity-building aid to Ukraine. But they said that they were deeply disappointed by these decisions and demanded that he reopen the investigation.
Yeah, in other words, it's exactly the same thing that Trump appears to have done with the same kind of implied quid pro quo. The language that the senators used, it says, we are strong advocates for a robust and close relationship with Ukraine. We have supported the capacity building process and are disappointed that some in Kyiv appear to have cast aside these democratic principles to avoid the ire of President Trump.
Yeah.
And then they demanded that the prosecutor, whose name was Lutsenko, reverse course and halt any efforts to impede cooperation with the Mueller investigation.
So the question is, what is the difference between three Democratic senators citing citing how much America does for Ukraine, insisting that Ukraine reopen an investigation, the Mueller probe that was targeted at Donald Trump, versus Donald Trump urging the Ukrainians, citing how much America does for Ukraine, look into Hunter Biden? I don't think there's any difference whatsoever. The Democrats have done, these three Senate Democrats, and keep in mind, Durbin is the second-ranking Democrat in the Senate. This is not some backbenchers or freshman members. These are the chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee and the second deputy majority leader in the Senate. They did exactly what they accused Donald Trump of having done, which is pushing the Ukrainians to investigate their political opponents. So, you know, it's kind of ironic that everybody's got their hair on fire about Donald Trump, but the Democrats did exactly what they accused him of doing.
Look, I think your point is unassailable. And I think we can stipulate that, no, President Trump's phone call was not perfect. In fact, President Trump's phone call stinks. But so does this. But neither one. You're not suggesting, are you, that these senators should be expelled from the Senate?
No, not at all, unless Democrats plan to try and expel Donald Trump, in which they should go with it. But, you know, we don't. Let's not have double standards here. But also, I will quibble with you a little bit, Michael, in the sense that his phone call, only three sentences of his phone call stink, which are the ones at the very end when he mentioned Hunter Biden. I don't think the President of the United States should have done that in a phone call. But everybody's been running around, and you've seen on KD Tour and MSNBC and all these, and CNN and other places, they say, the President said, do me a favor and investigate Hunter Biden. And that's actually not true.
No, it isn't at all. We've pointed that out on this show repeatedly. But the one thing that he said when he said, do me a favor, he was asking about the information about CrossStrike and about CrowdStrike, pardon me, CrowdStrike and the Hillary Clinton lost server. And
what he was talking about was that there is a, you know, we just spent 2 years and tens of millions of dollars chasing a conspiracy theory, which is that Donald Trump colluded with Russia, which he didn't. And the Mueller probe found he didn't do that. And so Americans took those charges seriously, as well they should, because they were very serious charges. And when senior Democrats were on the Capitol Hill saying that they had seen evidence that Donald Trump was a Russian agent and that he was including Jerry Nadler and then Swalwell and a bunch of these members of the Intelligence Committee, Americans took that seriously because we don't want our president to be working for the Russians. Then it turned out none of it was true. And so polls show that after the Mueller probe, 80% of Americans support investigating how the Mueller probe got started. And how we got down this path where our country was paralyzed for 2 years. And so the Justice Department has an open investigation led by a career prosecutor named
John Durham,
who's a very fair guy. He's the guy who investigated the CIA interrogation program and found that they had committed no crime. So he's not going to go somewhere where they're just because of political pressure to find a crime where it doesn't exist. But he's going to investigate this. And one of the things he's investigating is the role of Ukraine in the starting of the Mueller probe. And so what President Trump was asking was that that the president of Ukraine cooperate with that investigation. Since when is it controversial for the president of the United States to ask a foreign head of state to cooperate with an official Justice Department investigation being led by a career prosecutor?
Okay. Again, I don't think we need to quibble about this because I think we agree that the idea of impeaching the president over this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
However, it's worse than that because he doesn't just ask the president of Ukraine to cooperate with a career prosecutor who was an honorable man who was doing an official investigation. He asked him to cooperate with Rudy Giuliani. And do you know what Rudy Giuliani is doing exactly? I know he says he's just defending his client.
I don't know exactly what Rudy Giuliani is doing. And I'll tell you, here's what bothers me about Rudy Giuliani. If Rudy Giuliani was just in Ukraine as a private lawyer working for the president, trying to find information about what Hunter Biden, that would be completely legitimate. Just as, I know it might sound controversial, there was nothing wrong with Hillary Clinton paying a law firm to get the Steele dossier and to find dirt. That's called opposition research. When the Steele dossier only became a problem was when the FBI took it and used it as a pretext to start an official investigation of the president.
Right.
But all these people, if you go to the Democrats, they put in the Steele dossier, here's what they say. It's opposition research. Everybody does it. There's nothing illegal about it. And it doesn't matter if it's in a foreign country. That's what every campaign does. Okay. Then you can't have a problem with what Rudy Giuliani is doing in Ukraine.
Correct, but you can have a problem. You can have a problem with the President of the United States telling a foreign head of state, cooperate with my opposition research. That's no good.
Yes, I agree with that. I agree with that, and also that Rudy is saying that he's going at the request of the State Department. So he's blurring the lines between private and public, which is troubling to me.
Right, and it's also troubling that he's equating, and it's very clear in the phone call, he's equating Rudy Giuliani with the Attorney General, which is not doing the Attorney General any favors.
Absolutely agree with you.
And I think we can agree also that Rudy Giuliani and his handling of all of these matters is not quite at the top of his game.
That's a generous description of it.
well, of course, why not be generous at this point?
Somebody said the other day that if Rudy Giuliani had just retired in 1998, he'd be considered one of the greatest leaders in American history. And he's just, He's done so much to destroy his own reputation in the last few years. It's very sad.
It is sad. It is sad indeed.
He was a great mayor. I grew up in Rudy Giuliani's New York. He was a great mayor.
You mean even better than de Blasio?
Just a little.
No, Rudy was a great mayor. He was a transformative mayor to such
absolutely.
An extent that there are lots and lots of other cities, including the one I live in, Seattle, where, boy, could we use with our own Rudy Giuliani, not as a representative of the president in Ukraine, but as a mayor of a major city. Okay, yep. So the Democrats are applying double standards, and that's the theme of your column, and we've linked to your column at our website at michaelmedved.com. And how do you see anything that our side, that the Republican side, that the administration or the Republicans in the Senate or in the House could do to pull us back from what really is going to be a swamp that preempts everything, potentially for the next 6 months as we obsess on impeachment?
I don't see that any. Look, if a lunatic is hell bent on driving a car over a cliff, I don't know that there's anything we can do to stop it. I don't know if there are any roadblocks we can put in their way. That's what the Democrats are. They are hell bent on impeaching the president. They were hell bent on impeaching him before this transcript came out. They were looking. They've been looking for a pretext to do it, and they're going to do it. Nancy Pelosi understands that this is going to be a disaster for her party, that it could cost them control of the House. But she's come to the conclusion that she can't hold back the base anymore, and she can't hold back her members anymore. And so I think it's going to happen. And it's, it's terrible for the country because it's going to divide our country. It's going to be, as you say, nothing's going to get done. We got lots of important things to get done. We got the U.S.-Mexico trade agreement. Got all sorts of issues to address in Congress, and it's going to overshadow all that and make cooperation impossible. But I think it's going to blow back on the Democrats horribly. And quite frankly, also what's going to happen is if the Democrats go down this path, Joe Biden's done, because the Republicans are going to respond by having investigated. If we're going to investigate Donald Trump in Ukraine, we're going to investigate Biden in Ukraine. And there's a lot of dirt there that Biden is in trouble for, and it's all going to come out, and it could tank his presidential campaign.
I do think it most likely will, Mark Thiessen. We're speaking to Mark Thiessen, columnist for The Washington Post and a contributor to Fox News. I think the problem for Joe Biden is, let's even assume for a moment that what a lot of the press has reported is true, that there are no specific charges that either the Ukrainians or Americans want to make against Joe or Hunter Biden. The one charge that is unanswerable is the charge of incredibly bad judgment. Here is a veteran politician. He's vice president of the United States, and he doesn't think it's a problem for him that his son takes a $50,000 a month position on the board of directors for a very shady company in Ukraine called Burisma. How could Joe Biden possibly be that stupid not to have recognized that this was going to be a very serious problem for him going forward?
Well, this will be the issue, is that he was told it was stupid and he didn't do anything about it. So, the first of all, let's agree. There's some dispute as to whether there was an investigation into Burisma or not active when he got the Ukrainian prosecutor fired. It doesn't matter, because the reality is that in 2014, Joe Biden went to Ukraine and urged the country to invest in more, to produce more natural gas for a legitimate reason, to reduce its dependence on Russia. And a couple of weeks after that, his son gets hired on the board of a natural gas company in Ukraine. That's a conflict of interest. And then for him to be the point man on policy towards Ukraine while that's going on is a conflict of interest. And then we know he says, well, I never discussed it with my son. His son says that they discussed it in The New Yorker. And then he said to his son, I hope you know what you're doing. He said, I do, Dad. And then it also says that Obama's energy czar came to Biden and warned him that there was a conflict of interest with Burisma. And federal ethics regulations say that it is incumbent on a U.S. official to not involve themselves in any official acts if there could be even a question about their impartiality. So he violated ethics laws by continuing to take the lead on Ukraine policy while his son was creating this conflict of interest. So what's going to happen is there's going to be hearings in the Senate, and Hunter Biden is going to be called to testify, and the Obama energy czar is going to be called to testify. And not Republicans, not Rudy Giuliani, but impartial ethics lawyers are going to be called to testify, from university professors and ethics experts are going to testify that what Joe Biden did was a conflict of interest. And I think at some point, Democratic voters are going to say, you know what, this is a distraction from our effort to get rid of Donald Trump. We don't need this guy.
And so, again, I agree with exactly what you're saying here, and I think it'll be terrible for the Democrats, certainly terrible for Joe Biden, and he should have been able to foresee this. But assuming that he falls from his front runner's position, who then becomes the viable alternative to Elizabeth Warren?
It's interesting. I don't know. I think Elizabeth Warren seems, I think the most likely nominee in that case is Elizabeth Warren.
What a nightmare.
I know. And so here we have, there's polls show that there's 19% of Americans who like Donald Trump's policies but don't like Donald Trump, right?
Right.
And I count myself in that 19%. These Americans are America's going to be stuck with this existential threat. If you don't elect Donald Trump, who you dislike, the alternative is full blown socialism.
Right, and by the way, somebody who is so extreme in her positions and her prescriptions for the country, and you talk about economy wrecking, it's do you not suspect that it's likely that there'll be someone, and I think it's likely Pete Buttigieg, who would at least pick up the fallen banner if, say, Joe Biden withdraws from the race, which I think he will?
It's possible. Somebody's going to grab that center lane. There's no doubt someone will do it. It's a question of whether, they can kick in, overcome the head of steam that Elizabeth Warren is getting right now. And then keep in mind also is that, there's an argument to be made that the Democrats' best chance is someone like Elizabeth Warren. Because think back to, Biden is basically the Democrats' Mitt Romney, right? So in 2012, Republicans were terrified that we get some Tea Party extremist who was unelectable to be our candidate. And so they decided to go with a nice, squishy, gaffe-prone moderate who didn't really believe in anything himself, and make him our nominee and ride anti-Obama sentiment to the White House. And guess what? It didn't work.
I don't share your description and your attitude toward Mitt Romney. I have a much higher opinion of him than you do, perhaps.
Yeah, but the point is, the people were not voting for Mitt Romney's flaw in his campaign, whatever you think of him personally. I think he's a very nice man and a decent person, but was a terrible candidate. He really did not put forward a vision for people to rally behind. He was not an ideological candidate. He wasn't like Ronald Reagan, who had like a movement and a vision for the country. And so he was counting on the fact that people hated Obama enough that they were just going to throw him out, and he just had to not ruin it.
Right.
And that's the Biden campaign strategy in a nutshell. And so I think there's an argument on the Democratic side that what we really need is someone who's going to energize our base. Who will not only ride anti-Trump sentiment, but will ride pro-Elizabeth Warren sentiment or pro-Bernie Sanders sentiment as well. And that's the only way you beat. You don't beat somebody with nothing or on hatred of the other guy, because that just doesn't work, or we would have had one Obama term.
Well, can you imagine what the next 6 months will be like if all of a sudden we're in the midst of impeachment hearings and it's sort of endless, and there are sort of parallel hearings about various corruption charges against Joe Biden and his son Hunter, and at the same time, it's come down to a Democratic race between Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. What a nightmare. You talk about a dystopian movie about a grim future. That's it. Mark Thiessen, I know you're on the way to a youth hockey game, and that's a great place to go. Mark's most recent columns are linked up at our website at michaelmedved.com. He is a contributor to Fox News, columnist for The Washington Post. We will be right back. On the Michael Medved Show, talking about the ongoing reaction to what our immediate future looks like. My ongoing reaction is outrage, because a longstanding impeachment battle benefits no one and is almost surely going to have a very big impact on the election of 2020. Yes, I think Joe Biden is very likely collateral damage. And so generally, are the chances of having any meaningful election that's about anything other than the personality of Donald J. Trump? And the entire prospect, well, of listening to this, I mean, just a voice from the past. Hillary Clinton actually uses a sort of memorable phrase. I don't know, maybe she's trying to relate to the climate change crisis to characterize the opponent who beat her. She was speaking on CBS News. Listen.
Applying for a job and getting 66 million letters of recommendation and losing to a corrupt human tornado.
Corrupt human tornado. But that was part of why Trump won, was because he projected more energy than Hillary did. Remember, he was always making the point that she was had such an undemanding schedule compared to him. The aspect of Trump that is like a human tornado is one of the reasons that people like him. And the idea of sweeping away a lot of the rotting buildings that are ready to be swept away by a lot of hot air, which tornadoes usually are, because usually in warm season. She also expressed on CBS her agreement with the impeachment inquiry. Listen.
Given this latest revelation, which is such a blatant effort to use his presidential position to advance his personal and political interests, there should be an impeachment inquiry opened. And I don't care who you're for in the Democratic primary or whether you're a Republican. When the President of the United States, who has taken an oath to protect and defend the Constitution, uses his position to, in effect, extort a foreign government for his own political purposes, I think that is very much what the founders worried about in high crimes and misdemeanors.
This is way overstating it. And it's really the problem we're in. He did not extort. And in fact, the president of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, certified that he did not feel extorted or pushed or pressured. And the idea of seeking cooperation, as Mark Thiessen pointed out, with an ongoing investigation is okay. Where it becomes more questionable is when he says, I want you to meet with my private attorney, because then it sounds like it is political purposes. But this is the other part that is hypocritical for Secretary Clinton. She says for the president to use his position for any political purposes, every time a president travels anywhere, and whether it's to inspect tornado damage or to speak at rallies or to meet with foreign leaders, he's advancing his own political interests. And it's well known. It's why incumbents tend to have an advantage, because they have the whole power of the White House and that gigantic, much too gigantic White House staff of 1,500 people who are working for them. And no, they don't have to pay them out of campaign funds. I know the campaign's supposed to be different from the presidency, but it is quite normal, and certainly her husband did it. It's quite normal for presidents. What's the State of the Union address? Remember when they had that big kerfuffle and Nancy Pelosi was going to not allow the State of the Union address, and then they agreed on it because they kept the government open? I'm glad they did. Okay, the point is, a State of the Union address is using your position as president for political purposes, isn't it? Let's go to Kay in Salt Lake City. Hello, Kay. You're on the Medved Show, listening to us on AM 1640 K-Talk.
Hi, Michael. Her overstatement was a great lead into, I wanted to make a couple of points. The first one, I think for a Republican strategy, it might seem counterintuitive, but I think the best strategy would be to force the Democrats to who come up with articles of impeachment to discipline themselves enough to quit talking about everything under the sun and just actually put it to paper and come up with whatever it is they want to vote on, get it done.
Well, they're going to have to do that eventually. Go ahead.
Do it quickly. I just think the Republicans should be pushing them to get it done quickly.
Yeah, otherwise it's like the Seinfeld show. It's maybe kind of intermittently entertaining, but it's about nothing. Go ahead.
Never ends. Then I also wanted to make a point. Late last night I was reading the whistleblower statement, and it was very clear in there that the law, this whistleblower law, is only to deal with the intelligence community. So I'm a little confused about why it even is applying to the president.
It doesn't apply to the president, but it applies to the whistleblower.
Not in relation to something that he hears in the administration and the executive branch.
Well, I think that's a tough way to object to it. One of the things we do know about the whistleblower is apparently it's somebody who works in the CIA. And that's been confirmed by multiple sources who do know who it is. I suspect that very soon we will all find out the identity of this individual. And honestly, I think President Trump would make a very big mistake to try to go after the whistleblower because his director of national intelligence, Joseph McGuire, has already told the House Judiciary Committee, the House Intelligence Committee, that he thought the whistleblower acted in good faith and followed all the rules. I do think that it should be possible to go ahead and separate for a moment, at least. And Kay, I appreciate your call very much. This idea of the general opposition and worry and fear about Trump, to separate that from looking at this specific case, because it really does seem like a drunk in a bar fight, where basically you pick up any bottle you'll find on the counter and you use it as a weapon. And that's what this is. This is not something like, oh, now he's finally crossed a line. The Mueller thing ended up not paying off for the Democrats in the way that they thought it would. And none of the other charges. I mean, and there's been tons of stuff. Stormy Daniels stuff was referred to by one of the prior callers today on this show. That ended up not working. I don't think the tax return is going to provide grounds for impeachment. What it could all do, and perhaps what really needs to happen, I don't think it necessarily will, but it should, would be for a handful of Republican senators to get together and say, look, on this issue of the whistleblower, we're willing to sign on to a moderate, balanced resolution of censure. And remember, all it would take would be four Republican senators to go along with that. But we will only do that if you pull back from this impeachment madness, which is going to harm every single one of us. It's going to harm Democrats. It's going to harm Republicans. It's going to polarize the country. It is not a good thing. And if anybody thinks it is a good thing, you can give us a call, 1-800-955-1776. Even Nancy Pelosi seems to acknowledge it's not a good thing. She was on TV this morning acknowledging that. We'll play that for you. Also, take a look in more detail. What would a resolution of censure mean? And where has it actually worked before? We'll get to that coming up on The Medved Show. On The Michael Medved Show, it is a sad time for our country. There is a great opportunity, which only is going to last a couple of weeks, maybe even just a couple of days, to nip this thing in the bud. Otherwise, we're in the midst of a process. And what an ugly process it is going to be for all sides. Nancy Pelosi was on Morning Joe, And she described the situation this way.
This is a very sad time for our country. The impeachment of a president is as serious as our congressional responsibilities can be, apart from declaring war or something. And so we have to be very prayerful. And we always have to put country before party. But I would say at this time, I would say to Democrats and Republicans, we have to put country before party very clearly in the public view. And this is about the Constitution of the United States. The clarity of the president's actions is compelling and gave us no choice but to move forward. Our founders, in the darkest days of the Revolution, Thomas Paine said, "The times have found us." Well, we think the times have found us now to protect what they fought for, our democracy, our independence, and then a constitution with checks and balances, not a monarchy, as Ben Franklin said, a republic. And all of that is at stake. The separation of powers is the genius of the Constitution. Three separate co-equal branches of government to be a check on each other. This is as serious as it gets when it comes to protecting the Constitution of the United States. The oath of office that we take, I think the president violated that oath. But sadly, we have to follow the facts, and the facts are so dragging, but in other words, to corroborate what we have heard so that the public has a comfort level of what we have to do.
I will agree that there are parts of the phone call with the president of Ukraine that are embarrassing, that are inappropriate, that even are a little bit sleazy. Yeah, they are a little bit. But where are they an assault on the Constitution? I don't understand. Where is there an assault on the Constitution here? And if somebody wants to try to answer that question and give me a call, 1-800-955-1776. I almost feel sorry for Nancy Pelosi because there's lots of high-minded rhetoric. The times have found us. I mean, comparing this to the crisis of the American Revolution, saying they have no choice but to impeach. I mean, honestly, if you look at the history of the impeachment, 17 individuals have been impeached by the House of Representatives since the Constitution was adopted in 1789. It was ratified in 1789, written in 1787. Okay. So of those 17 people, 10 have been acquitted, just let go. And a couple of the others actually resigned, like Richard Nixon. But first of all, the prospect of Trump resigning is zero. And secondly, what exactly is the overwhelming crime that forces Pelosi's hand? Let's go to Walt in Olympia, Washington. Walt, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
You bet.
I'm not disagreeing, and I'm not saying that there are. What I'm actually saying is that there's an ulterior motive to the Democrats impeaching Trump.
What is it?
And that is, when they pass it on to the Senate probably will not do anything. So the Democrats will come back and say, look, we're not the doom-nunty party. It's the Republicans, because they're not acting on something that we, the people, have determined is an issue.
Look, I think the Republicans. I think the Republicans will be in a big hurry to clear up this impeachment thing and to have the vote. And the Democrats won't even get. There were 50 votes to impeach Bill Clinton; they needed 67, and they weren't anywhere near close. And they, in terms of votes this time to impeach President Trump, they're 47 Democrats. They're not going to get every Democratic vote to impeach him, to remove him from office. So I think the Republicans should try to proceed as quickly as possible to actually voting on this and clearing it away. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Renee in Seattle. Renee, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Hey, I got to agree with you, Well, I agree with you often, but about the sleazy part, okay? Isn't that enough? isn't just the sleaziness of the call and just his attitude. I mean, isn't that enough?
No, it is. It is not enough.
So we can just walk around with a sleazy president, and that's okay?
No, it's. Again, I'm not saying it's okay. If you think it's not okay, I assume you're planning to vote against him.
Of course.
You know, let me put it to you this way, because a friend of mine from law school who was representing Bill Clinton when he faced impeachment back in 1998 actually framed the issue this way. When the Senate came to vote on whether to remove Bill Clinton from office, he said, look, the question before us is whether his continuation in office is a threat to the nation's survival and security. And if you conclude that it is not, then you must vote to acquit. And if you continue, if you believe that it is a threat, an immediate threat to our survival and security, the point is, if you want to get rid of Trump, you can do that 13 months from now when you vote to get him out of office. But that's the way the Constitution is set up.
13 months. We might not have 13 months. This guy's crazy.
Okay.
Who knows what he could do?
Here is the point. What do you think the chances are of getting 20 sitting Republican senators to vote to remove Donald Trump from office and to replace him with Mike Pence, by the way?
The chances are real good. Look what Jeff Flake said about if it was a private vote, then I don't see why we can't make that happen.
Okay, because I'll tell you why you can't make it happen, because virtually all of those U.S. senators who would have to vote to remove Trump from office, there's only one who has expressed real doubts about the president's conduct here, and that's Mitt Romney. And nobody else has. And by the way, I would be very, very surprised if Mitt Romney actually voted to remove Trump from office. And then the other thing for Democrats is, let's say through some miracle that there's some kind of, I don't know, the clouds open up and there's a voice from on high that says you have an obligation now to remove this man from office. And Republicans go along with it and he's gone. Who's the president, Renee?
Well, maybe, you know what? Nancy Pelosi.
No, no, she's not. She's not. Michael Pence is the president. That's in the Constitution. And they set it up that way. So Mike Pence is the president, and he would be an overwhelming favorite if we go through some kind of agony like that. And if Trump resigns or if he is actually removed from office, Pence would be an overwhelming favorite to win re-election. And that almost happened with Gerald Ford under far, far worse circumstances. It was a very close race in 1976. Look, Renee, it's one of those things that I know that the rhetoric for Democrats is we have an obligation, we must do it, it's moral, it's required. It's not required to do things that damage the country and hurt yourself. It's never required. What is required is to figure out the course that can most sustain security and prosperity and maybe even comedy in this greatest nation on God's green earth.